The belief and hope is that our local public school system will provide the education for our children that will empower and encourage them as it prepares them for hopefully a successful life. The reality is, well, not every school district lives up to that hope. This is why school choice options have seen monumental growth across the nation. Now, there's legislation in Congress, which I know just saying that doesn't inspire encouraging thoughts considering the here and now situation with the House and the Senate. But my next guest is leading an effort to bring, it's called the Education Choice for Children Act, across the finish line. She is the president and CEO of the Invest in Education Coalition, Angela Flood. Thanks for being here today, Angela.
Thank you for having me, Chris.
InvestInEducation.org, the website, learn more about not just Invest in Education Coalition, but the work that they're doing, particularly with the Educational Choice for Children Act. Talk about the elements of this legislation, Angela, because, as I said, more and more parents are looking for school choice. And, well, first and foremost, they don't know what their choices are. So we have to, you know, try to educate them on the basics. But then how is this further how will this further empower the desire and even the awareness of school choice?
Well, not all parents have the choice, unfortunately. Not every state has a program. There are about 70 different kinds of programs, 70 programs in 30 states. They range from educational savings accounts, tax credit scholarships, and other options, but a lot of states don't even have that. So the Educational Choice for Children Act, the ECCA, would establish a $10 billion federal scholarship tax credit that would allow donations from individuals and corporations to receive a 100% non-refundable tax credit for donations to scholarship-granting organizations. And these are nonprofit entities in different places that give scholarships to students for use to pay tuition in a different school, to pay for homeschooling, curriculum materials, and services that would help with learning loss. There's a range of things they could use this for, and it just gives parents more options because not every kid learns the same way, and not every school teaches kids the same way.
And this brings up an important point, too, because I mentioned the lack of full awareness of options, of choices, or the possibilities of bringing choices into a specific state that are lacking, that's lacking in that regard. But there's also a financial cost that people who want to explore these other school choices, they see the cost and they're priced out of the market, basically.
That's right. And we believe that every child has a right to an excellent education, not just the ones who can afford it. And this particular tax credit would apply to families making an income of up to 300% of the median income in their respective areas. So, for example, in New York City, families earning up to a little over $290,000 would be eligible to receive these scholarships. So you're you're covering not only the low-income kids who are especially needy, but also middle-income families who can't afford, with the high cost of everything, can't afford to put their kids in a better school.
Who does the oversight of this program? Because we've seen, for example, with the funding, this was direct funding that went to states for COVID relief. A lot of states, New Jersey included, sat on a lot of that money and really didn't make it easily available. Now, I do notice, too, that there's a carryover ceiling on this bill, each state getting an allocation of $20 million, and the carryover is limited to only 15% of that. So there is a sense of urgency for the state to make this available as quickly and as widely as possible.
That's right. The Department of Treasury, the Federal Department of the Treasury, would administer the tax credit. The Department of Education has no role in this. There's no new role for the U.S. Department of Education. This involves no new federal dollars. This is a private funding stream meant to help more people give their kids a better choice.
So, Angela Flood, President and CEO of Invest in Education Coalition, investineducation.org. Their website, you are listening to Issues and Ideas. We're focusing on the Educational Choice for Children Act, ECCA, which if you look at who was supporting this in the Congress and the House, has 149 co-sponsors, 30 co-sponsors in the Senate. What's the current status? Is it still going through that maze of committees, or is it, what's the likelihood of seeing a floor vote in either chamber on this bill?
Well, we are working for the possibility that could happen at any time. We are, you know, hope springs eternal. We had a hearing on this bill. The Ways and Means Committee held a hearing in October. We're hopeful that there may be a markup in the Ways and Means Committee in the coming weeks or months. And who knows what will happen on the House floor, but if it doesn't happen this year, we will have the momentum going into next year when many of the tax cuts that are up for reauthorization will be considered.
I mean, we don't like to include politics with things that involve our children, but in this case, it might be an asset, because if you look at voters and who would they be more likely to vote for when it comes to school choice, 76% of voters are more likely to vote for a candidate who supports school choice, and those are numbers across the board, 86.2% of Republicans, 77.2% of Democrats, those who declare themselves as independents, which, for example, in New Jersey, it's majority of the voting rules, as you know, by the way, 67% against all demographics, ages. I mean, there is no one who does not want school choice. And if you look at an element, too, of there are many schools who are still facing challenges of compensating for the COVID learning loss. So parents if it was affordable to them, can look for better opportunities to help their kid overcome that still existing learning loss from the COVID pandemic.
That's right. Can you think of any other issue in America that enjoys this kind of consensus and support? And it would help in states where there aren't any school choice options, but it also helps parents who are currently taking advantage of school choice in their states, because this federal tax credit would be on top of what they're receiving at the state level. So it provides even greater spending power for the people who already have school choice in their states. It's, as you point out, the political support, but the research on private school choice programs shows improved academic outcomes for participating students, savings to taxpayers, parental satisfaction, school safety, and for the public schools, for people who think, oh, this is going to affect my public school in a negative way, for public schools that are near choice schools in states with school choice programs, research shows higher standardized test scores, lower absenteeism. We're seeing a huge crisis right now with absenteeism in the schools. It's better for everybody. The rising tide lifts all boats, and as in most enterprises, competition in the education marketplace works.
And certainly for thinking in a more long-term level as well, if students are succeeding, learning, achieving in the here and now of their education, that will over time decrease what we see in many school districts, a growing dropout rate.
That's right. And overall, the economic outlook for those areas would improve if you have more people doing well in school, graduating, going to college or other professions where they can contribute to the economic growth of their areas. It's a win-win in the short term and the long term.
So for the person listening to us right now, to become more empowered and better engaged and more active in this issue, since, as the statistics show, just about everyone wants to see it come to pass, obviously go to learn more at investineducation.org. But what else can they do to help bring the Educational Choice for Children Act across that finish line?
Well, they can certainly encourage their representatives in Congress to support it. As of right now, there are no Democratic members that are signed on to this bill. We are hopeful that the overwhelming voter support for school choice will help convince them to be supportive. You know, we're up against forces like the teachers unions that have a lot of influence among a lot of members. And so the more that people can let their members know that they support this, the greater the chances are that we'll be successful.
The name of Angela's organization that she's the CEO and president of, Invest in Education. Coalition. Invest, that's the key word there. We think of investing with money, but it also involves time, it involves passion, it involves action and words and support for just causes, which certainly the Educational Choice for Children's Act is an obvious just cause. So to learn more, you can visit their website, investineducation.org. Take the information, take the facts, take your desire and your demands to your member of Congress in the House and the Senate. Let them know this is a must-do. They have a list of, everyone has a list of things to do. Have them put this at or near the top of their respective lists as well. investineducation.org. She is the president and CEO of Invest in Education Coalition, Angela Flood. Angela, thanks for raising awareness about this very important legislation, the obvious needs that it is responding to, and thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you very much for having me, Chris.